We are live. Greetings, magnificent souls, to the Attract Health, Build Wealth podcast, where we have open and honest discussions about ourselves. This is a place where we break down, break away, and break through codependency, allowing ourselves to attract health, build wealth, and live a peaceful life. We are tired of being sick and tired. We are tired, but we are not giving up. We know that there is something magnificent inside of us. And because we are fighting daily, hourly, and by the minute, fighting ourselves, our kids, our spouses, we have to do things differently. We have to break the cycle. We don't have a million chances. We have to be happy now. We have to find a way. So how do we do that? How is that possible? If you look around at what society is telling you, they'll tell you that what we're doing is impossible. Yet it's happening every single day. And it's happening through the practice and love that we call awakening the magnificent soul. We are all magnificent souls, and these are our stories of healing. And today in episode 13, I'm so excited to introduce my listeners to my very first guest on the show, Kinsey Abercrombie. I'm so happy and honored to have you here, Kins. But before we get into the discussion, don't forget to let me know out there your thoughts about this episode, any feedback you have, or anything you'd like me to cover on future podcasts at epiphanyvault.com. And don't forget, you can share anonymously, and it is a safe place, and I would welcome the discussion. So we have Kinsey. Kinsey and I met when we were both wearing different hats, but we instantly connected. You know, when you meet someone, you can instantly feel that aura and that love, and that's Kinsey and I. Mm-hmm. And yeah, since then, we just connected and stayed in touch. We live in different cities now, but I'm so enamored with her and her journey through life, and I'm so happy she's here to have a conversation. And the idea about her coming on the show kind of sprouted when we were texting back and forth about the podcast and about how we both feel that what we're talking about here is so important to talk about. And I was like, hey, why don't you just come on the podcast and we'll talk about some of this stuff? And she agreed. Awesome. So she's here. And welcome, Kins. So awesome to have you.
Hello. I know. I'm super excited. I found it so interesting that after spending a day talking to a girlfriend of mine about this, you and I had the same conversation. So I couldn't just not come on and talk to you about it and just talk about my journey with codependency and just how it's affected. Because I've been listening to your podcast. I started listening like a week ago. And there were so many things, like I've never taken so many notes listening to somebody that completely resonated and are things that I think are important to talk about as well. So I'm really glad I got here.
So awesome. Yeah. Like I said, this is the first time, so it's super cool. And this is kind of, you know, just like we're having coffee. We really haven't planned this out and we just want to talk about things. And thank you for saying that, because that's super inspiring for me just to hear that, you know, that opening up the lines of communication and talking about this. So, and for all the listeners out there, just a heads up, I do plan on having more guests on the podcast, but Kinsey's the first one, so she's breaking ground. But the first question that I'm going to ask everyone, no matter who it be, I have a whole list of like celebrities and stuff I'm going to try to get on, but that first question is always going to be, how has codependency touched your life?
Yeah. So it's kind of always been there, which is weird to think about when you look back at it, and nobody ever wants to be codependent, and you always think of it in the sense of like a relationship. Nobody wants to be dependent on anyone. But looking back on it in my own life, I have a relationship with severe codependency issues that's kind of been there my whole life. It involves a family member of mine. It involves me really being a support to this particular family member for the majority of my life. And you don't ever think about it because it's family, I guess. And that's just kind of, you know, the mentality that we have in our family. It's just kind of, it's family. So it's not an issue. And then you look back at it 20 years and you're like, oh, there, yep, it is. That's what it was. For me, it was a lot of self-giving. I, from a very young age, was put in a position where I was constantly giving, where I was constantly the adult in a situation. And for me, that was my normal. And you look back at it, and I'm going to be 27 in October, and you're like, that's 15 years of my life where I thought that was normal. And you get the opportunity to kind of really look into yourself and go, okay, maybe that's not as normal, or maybe that's a new normal that shouldn't be a normal. So for me, this codependent relationship was built on a series of milestones. It was moments where I shouldn't have had to be an adult, where I had to be the adult when somebody couldn't be the adult, where I thought I had to give up hanging out with friends, with moving out of my parents' house, with moving out and moving on out of the city. A lot of that had to do with this particular relationship. And you struggle between, like, well, this is my family member. This is somebody I love. This is somebody who would not do this to me intentionally. And taking the past 6 months to really explore, like, my own self and my own issues, just kind of learning that they're not doing it on purpose. And there are other issues as to why you get kind of sucked into this cycle of codependency. I think with this particular family member, I don't think they ever would have wanted to create this type of codependent relationship with me. I don't think anybody ever wants that. And I'm such a giving person that I don't think about it until 2 years later. And what struck a chord with me was listening to, I think, your second podcast, where you're talking about your relationship with your dad. And it's so interesting to me because I'm a very driven person. I like excelling. I like the feel goods. I like it. But where your story was you pushed and pushed and pushed and achieved, mine was like I pushed and pushed and pushed and rebelled. I did not, like, if you wanted me to go for the gold, I settled for bronze because you wanted it that bad. And it was so intriguing to me to see how two very different stories end up at the same place. Because I feel you and I are very similar people, and yet the path to get there was very different. But the pressure, the intense pressure to be a certain way is remarkable to me. Like, you don't even know where it comes from until you're looking back and you're like, well, why did I make this decision? Why did I date this person? Why did I not go after this dream? Why did, small example, I have an older sister. She's like 6 years older than me. And she and I look identical. We both like basketball. We both like a lot of the same things. And when you come up and your sister is the all-star athlete and academic, and you go to a small school where they're expecting you to be the same thing, how as a 13-year-old do you explain that pressure to somebody without someone saying, well, you're just making an excuse
Right.
you don't
Or
want to
even
be?
tapping into like knowing that that maybe isn't you,
Yeah.
you know?
And that's where I could see, because it was from that point on, like, I remember I was the star athlete when I was in middle school, and I got to high school, and before I could even walk through the front doors, her varsity coaches were like, well, we're gonna see you on the JV team this year, right? We're gonna see you do this. We've heard amazing things. And you're like, I mean, sure, but all you're looking is for like version 2.0 of my sister, and I know it, and you know it. But how, and as a 13-year-old, you try and tell someone, they're like, well, you just don't want to do it. And that's fine. Just say you don't want to do it. And it's like, it's not that I don't. I had every desire to go play basketball. But I walk into a campus where all they see is my older sister. And you're like, why would I want to? And then why would I want to tell anybody this is how I feel when you're just telling me I'm making excuses? And then why would I want to dedicate my time when I have a relationship that in my mind at 13 was far more important than going out with friends, than doing things, than dating, than, you know, X, Y, Z, and the other. And it's just, it's so, what's the word I want for? Intertwined, I guess. And for me, kind of like in thinking about how I wanted to present my codependency story on your podcast, my whole life. And that, there's not one moment, but my whole life, and I'm a self-proclaimed very independent human being. My whole life is braided with this sense of codependency that I didn't even know existed, that I didn't know recognized, until I look at things like to get really personal, like when I lost my virginity. And looking back at that 2 years after I did it, going, to be honest, I slept with a random dude and I was fine for 2 years. And I look back at it and go, well, that's not healthy and that's not normal.
Oh my God. Yeah. Can I just, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to do a podcast about this because this is like what I'm learning. And I think, what you touched on is that codependency and is such like, it's like a broad umbrella that it manifests in different ways for different people. And the only place that I'm coming from really is my experience. And what you just said, and I've read about this, and I'm going to do a podcast about this, is being like being a sexual being is basically a call out and a search for love, right? And I am so on that level, and I haven't done a whole lot of research on it, but I definitely know that that's like another facet of what happened to my experience, you
Yeah.
know?
No, 100%. And I'm very comfortable with my sexuality. I'm very comfortable with talking about that. I'm very open with my sexuality. I feel like my relationship with codependency probably manifested that way. I'm not upset at it, but I look at things like, and this is part of the candid conversation I had had with my girlfriend prior to talking to you, is if I'm upset, I don't go for a chocolate bar or food anymore. I mean, sometimes I do, but when I'm upset, I look for a partner because I want to forget and I want to feel.
Yep.
Food
Are
doesn't do that
you
for
want to feel and you want to feel,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
Feel and fill that, like that quote unquote hole, need, whatever. Yeah.
And part of at least my journey, because this was I call this my year of like no fucks. Like I
Can
have
we
talked
hashtag that, please?
Yes, my year of no fucks. I have talked to multiple, like, I've had multiple girlfriends tell me that I've grown so much in the past 6 months because I literally stopped, not caring, but just stopped, like, caring about pointless things, caring about things that codependency makes you care about, like what people think or what people will say or what people will say when you're not around or how your brain thinks other people will perceive a situation because I'm an overthinker. But it's one of those where I have settled for a lot less. Not that in I've settled for a lot less telling myself I'm not worthy of more. And it's a stupid conundrum to be in because you settle for way less than you deserve and you're okay with it because your brain is telling you that that's all you can get. And you're like, see, but I know I'm worth more. And it was so eye-opening to me to see that that's what I would do. If I, to be really honest, my uncle passed away a couple months ago. I was talking to a guy fairly new. I met him online, whatever. We had gone out a couple of times, nothing crazy. And we happened to be talking one day, the day that I found out my uncle died. It was very sudden. It was a very like we all got a phone call and we all rushed to my aunt and uncle's house. And while I wasn't close to my uncle was definitely a personality. So it was just a very tough week. I suppressed a lot of my emotions to take care of people because I'm a very giving person. And then that Friday, I went out to a barbecue with this very nice gentleman who I'd only been talking to for like a week and a half. And I stayed at his house all weekend. And it was a great weekend. Don't get me wrong. It was probably one of the best weekends I've had in a really long time. And it wasn't until 2 months ago I realized that that weekend was 1,000% coping for a very stressful situation because, I mean, we were like rabbits all weekend. And, not to, to throw some humor in there, but it's one of those like, I will tell people to this day, like, oh, I didn't really cope with it. Like, I was fine. And then I look back and I was like, I did. And it's a very strange way. And so I find it interesting that, you say there's research to look into, but at 100%, like, key moments in my life, the way I handled it was I was fine. I was fine to everybody else. And then I went on like a sexual bender. And then,
Yeah.
went about it. And it's so intriguing to me because I took that as me being a very independent woman that I was perfectly okay with my
Or
sexuality.
that you were in charge, or like you
100%.
were just dictating whatever. Yeah, this is what I do and this is my life. Yeah, totally. I've been there. Go ahead.
And what is so misguiding about codependency is codependency lets you think you're in charge. It lets you think you're in charge 100% of the time until a year later you're looking back and you're like, well, that was a dumb decision. Like, why did I do that? And
Yeah.
this is a dumb decision, and why did I do that?
In hindsight, like that did not feel very good.
Right?
You
And like
know?
it's the weirdest sense of instant gratification, but you have the sense of like I'm 100% in control, and codependency lets you think that way. It lets you think that you have got it all, that this is what you want to do. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of those situations that I'd probably do again. But for very different reasons. And with a much healthier like mindset. And that I think is probably what my biggest struggle is now, because I'm going through this dating lull where I was talking to four or five guys, and I'm still kind of am, but I know they only want one thing, and I'm trying to make that into something else, and it's not going. And yet this need to hold on to that, because if I just give them this, then I'll be satisfied and they'll be satisfied. And that's where it is. It's that justification almost. And that
Yeah.
codependency tells you like you're fine because you're still in control. And recognizing that I'm not was probably the biggest thing I could have done. And I did that last Monday, and it was the funniest thing. And I have to tell you, because I was watching Jurassic Park of all random movies. I was sitting there kind of talking to a guy, and I know I love attention, so I wasn't getting the attention that I wanted. And I'm sitting there fresh out of a workout, fresh out the shower, so I'm like my best self. I'm clean, I'm like ready to go to bed. And I'm sitting there and go, why the hell can't I just be E? And in the middle of E, my own brain was like, stop right there. I'm gonna need you to stop. I'm gonna need you to realize that that thought is not what you need it to be. And I took the next 30 minutes, and I wish I had brought the post-it note with me because I completely forgot. I was like, no, it is not enough. It is not worthy. It is not anything. It is a simple state of being, is this is what they want, and this is what you're giving them. And until you can figure out that you have the power in the situation to say no, like that's it. And
Yeah.
I went, like, I brainstormed, like I brain dumped all over a piece of paper, and what came out with was, I will find a man who is worthy of me, not in the sense of jumping through hoops, but in the sense of matching my own worth. And it was such a powerful thing for me. And it was like, I talked about it for 5 days. I told everybody I could about the story. Like, half my girlfriends laughed at me, but it was such a powerful thing. I took two of those five guys, and I set up dates that they half-ass kind of sort of didn't want to go on. So I said, fine, I'm done with it. And I left it go. And I talked to one dude, and I was like, hey, you want to figure your life out? Fine, but I'm not waiting around anymore. And I talked to my very steady hookup, and I was like, hey, we got to figure this out, and this can be great, or I got to let you go, because I'm done kind of chasing around. But it was that moment of my own brain has had enough.
Clarity.
Own
Yeah.
self.
Yes. So back up a little bit. So I, first of all, chills when you sharing your story. That's awesome. Amazing. And yeah, just thank you so much for letting us in on all that stuff. 'Cause I know it's hard for me. Like I'm just now getting to the point, obviously, where I can be vocal about this and be clear, you know, about where I am in my mind. Because I think you're right. Like, you know, this codependency thing, it has a tendency to pull you in different directions, right? Because you've been trained that way forever. You know, in my case, I've been trained for 37 years. In your case, a little less than that.
Just a little.
Yeah, I mean, it's so amazing. So you've been working on this like self-growth, you know, like I like to call awakening magnificent soul for a while. Like, and I share this, and you and I really haven't talked about this, but you probably heard on the podcast that I had a very low time in October. It was actually around the time you came to visit.
Yeah, I thought about
Yes.
it.
Yeah, I know. So I reached a very, very low point in my life, and that for me, that was a turning point in being like, this is something that I need to either grab hold or this is, it's a life or death thing for me, and it really was. What kind of got you to the point where you were working towards health and, taking that time to be introspective and to questioning those innate, this has been big for me, is questioning those instant feelings of what my mind or my feelings are telling me to do, because now I know that they're clouded or they're filtered through this codependency thing that I've been working on, this codependency muscle for years, and this is the way that I need to break it. How did you get to that point?
I always had like an on and off relationship with the health and fitness aspect of life. I have also had a lot of very depressive moments in life, starting as young as like 14, 15, maybe 13. I hit a lot of lows when I was 16, like low lows. I mean, there were attempts made very similar to yours. I know you talked about that a lot in your first podcast. When I was younger, there were events that just kind of took me to a very dark place. And there it's hold on, there's a random voicemail going on.
No worries.
I was like, I don't know what that was. We don't ever use that phone, and of course somebody calls.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, and I would like just to say it's my innate inner self-confidence where I told myself I didn't have a choice. I pulled out of it and I was fine. Up until, ironically, last October.
Okay, there must have been some kind of moon cycle or something.
I don't know. Last October, shortly after my visit with you, the magnitude of pressure to succeed kind of kicked in. So I lost my job roughly around the time I saw you. And going back home from that trip, which was such a much needed trip, I came home from that trip and the reality of being fired for the first time in my life kicked in. And the reality of what the fuck do I do now kicked in. I had no job. I was filing unemployment. I was being told by everybody that it was perfectly fine, that I got screwed over, that, I have every right to be angry. And I just kind of sat there and I attempted to self-motivate. There were a lot of other things I wanted to do besides that job. And I remember after 2 weeks of just sitting in my apartment, I arrived at the week before my birthday. And I was yelling at people on the phone because I was so bored out of my mind. I remember my dad had called on our daily phone calls, and I was like, don't ask me how my day was going because I haven't done shit. Like, I was angry. And I remember that Monday or Tuesday, a couple of girlfriends of mine are like, well, what do we want to do for your birthday? And I was like, we're not doing anything for my birthday. Like, we're not. And they were like, no, we're going to do something. Like, we're not doing anything for my birthday. Like, I go, I have no money to do anything for my birthday. Like, we're not doing anything for my birthday. Hindsight, I ended up having people over here, and of the like 20 or so people that I either invited or said they were coming, only two showed up, which doesn't, I mean, says a lot about the other 18 relationships. And we like ate pizza and sat around a bonfire and drank some beers, and it was probably one of the best nights I had in my life. Until the next day when I didn't move from my bed all day. I have a Fitbit. It tracked maybe 1,000 steps that day. And those 1,000 steps were me walking to the bathroom or to the kitchen. I didn't move. And then I had two or three more days like that, and I didn't move. And a girlfriend of mine, she's like, I'm gonna take you out for a drink because we haven't gone out. She's like, it's on me for your birthday. And she looked me dead in the eye. She goes, are you depressed? Because it's okay if you are. Oh, God, that gave me chills.
Wow.
And I looked at her and I was like, I didn't answer because I couldn't answer. And I was like, there is a dark place that I don't want to go, and I don't know how to stop myself from going there. And she said, okay, like we'll just hang out. Like you can come over and help. She has bunnies. She's this cutest thing. She's like, you can come over and help me with the bunnies. We can go for walks. We can do this. And I was just like, I don't know if I can. And she goes, okay, then we'll just talk on the phone. And it became this moment of like, I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't tell anybody. I was tired all the time. But to have her sit there and be like, it's okay if you're not okay. And for me, it was life changing. It was absolutely life changing.
Did you feel like you could open up and just tap into those things maybe that you hadn't wanted to tap into before?
It became a moment of really looking at myself, at really looking at my behaviors, because I grew up in the family of like no therapy mentality. You don't need a therapist. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing you can't push through. And having her sit there and be like, it's okay if you're not. And that's literally all it was. It wasn't, I'm here for you. It wasn't, let me help you. It was literally just simply, it's okay if you're not okay. And sitting there and going, okay, well, I'm gonna get through the holidays and kind of start. For me, fitness has always been like a safety blanket. Like, I'm super confident in how I am, but I've always wanted to be fitter, leaner, healthier, XYZ. So I kind of started rolling on this health kick. And then I kind of sort of did it and kind of sort of didn't. And then I got a job at the end of November back at one of the old jump companies I used to work for. And for Christmas, I told myself, because I had this Fitbit, I was like, I'm going to get a smart scale because I'm tired of looking at just the number of pounds. I wanted to break it down to like how much of it's muscle, how much of it's fat, how much is this. So I bought a smart scale. I bought that smart scale. I use my Fitbit every day. And my goal is just to hit 8,000 steps every day. Just move enough to hit 8,000 steps every day. And then Christmas came around and I was like, I'm going to start this before the new year because 2018, I need it to be a better year. 2017 started, a friend of mine was killed New Year's Day. So 2017 was just like not in the books for me. And it ended with this job loss and me grappling with literally trying to crawl away from this very dark place that I know is there. It's there. I could go there anytime I want. But it was just one of those, I needed something different. So I started. My parents have an elliptical in their back room, so I'd run every day for 30 minutes, as long as I could get 20 or 30 minutes in. I lost 10 pounds, I think a total of 10 pounds within like the first week of January, and that was kind of coming off Christmas. And then I just rolled with it. And then I decided that I was going to start being honest with myself and the fact that I'm lazy and that's why I don't do it. And I was like, it's not mean, it's not cold-hearted, but I'm lazy. And that came from a conversation with my mom where she was like, what do you need me to do to help you? Because I'd sit there and be like, I can't do it. And she's like, well, what do you need? I go, if I could tell you what I needed to get my butt to move
Right, you
I
do
want
it.
to, I would. I
Yeah.
was like, I would love to be able to tell you what that is.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, just tell me how I can help then. And I was like, I just need to find it inside of me somewhere to do it. And from that conversation, every day was just like, Mom, I ran for 20 minutes. And she'd be like, okay, Mom, I ate better today. Okay. And that's all it was. It was just simple okays here and there. And then right before my uncle passed, I went on a hike with a girlfriend of mine. And I told her, I go, I have anxiety. I go, I have an anxiety disorder. I know it's there. I am socially anxious. I have relationship anxiety. which is probably why I can't keep a relationship for longer than 3 months. For I have this fear of being left, which stems from codependency. I have this fear of not being enough for somebody because I gave my all to my codependent, and it still wasn't enough to fix the situation. I learned that I can't fix every situation, and it just came. And the more I started to vocalize, not just keep it inside, but the more I started to just tell people, like, I have anxiety. This gives me anxiety.
Yes. Let me, sorry, go ahead, keep going.
I was like, telling people, like, I'm gonna go, but I'm gonna tell you right now, when I start saying I wanna leave, it's because this, like, I just became more honest with telling people, and it was uncomfortable. And my girlfriend, who I told is one of my best friends, she's that person you call at like 2 a.m. And for me, like, she and I have had the most honest conversations I've had with anybody. So to tell her and have her be like, well, that makes sense. And her be like, okay. She's like, I get it. Like, she's like, it makes sense. Like, everything you're saying, like how you act, that is, she goes, I'm not gonna let you make that an excuse. She was like, but it 100% makes sense. She's like, and you let me know what I can do to help.
Yeah, that's amazing. Let me jump in because I wanted to keep this 30 minutes and we're almost up to that point. But this is a good segue, I think, at this point, because something I wanted to ask you is, so something I've talked about on the podcast is what I call my soul maintenance plan. And what it is for me, it's what it's titled is soul, like soul maintenance. It's what I do to keep myself aligned. This routine that I've a adopted and adapted to fit my life and really to keep me, open, peaceful, level-headed, and things like that. It sounds like we were kind of getting into that, but with exercising and maybe writing as well. What do you do to keep your soul aligned?
A lot of it lately has been just focusing on my health and wellness. I see a huge correlation between my mental and physical health. So as I work on my mental health, physical aspect starts to become a lot easier because I'm no longer pushing myself with the motivation to make myself feel better, but pushing myself with the motivation to make myself be better, which is a very small change, but huge all at the same time. I'm now no longer, it's, there's no internal pressure to be approved by other people. And I've never felt the direct need to be approved by people. And I know you touched on this in one of your other podcasts, the generation of likes and comments and followers. Like, subconsciously, somewhere in my brain, there's that, if I post this, will people make fun of it? If I post this, will people like it? If I post this, will anyone even care? For me, a lot of it just came down to not being crazy about my food. So I try to live as closely to 80-20 as possible. I acknowledged about 2 months ago that I had and probably still have a food addiction. Which manifested in very interesting ways. So if you ever want to talk about that, I would love to come back and talk to you about that.
Well, we could talk for probably
I know.
days.
And so just really focusing on going, hey, no cheat days, no this, because they don't work for me. But I bought a bag of Ghirardelli dark chocolate squares and I have one every night. And so whether I eat fast food all day and a salad and that, like, there's always kind of some small treat. I hesitate to call them rewards because that's just really bad terminology. There's always this balance of life. Same with working out. I love my workout plans, but if I can get to go to a hike or go swim in a lake or go to the beach and walk on the beach, I will gladly take that. That's free exercise without me having to do anything. And just really embracing life. Saying, I think it's Shonda Rhimes' book, The Year of Yes, which I really want to read, but that's literally been my mentality, giving no fucks and saying yes to every opportunity.
Let's wait. We should close on that hashtag no fucks. And then for our listener base out there, and obviously, thank you so much. This has been amazing. And maybe we'll have you back on for episodes two through 1
Anytime.
million. But if people want to follow you and follow your journey, like I said, I'm super inspired by what you're doing because you keep a pretty good tab on what's going on in your life. Where do people find you?
So Instagram is probably the, okay. So if they can see the video, I wrote it down.
Oh, cool. Yeah, they will. for listeners out there, we do post this on YouTube,
Yeah.
and also in our private Facebook group as well. So what is it? The
So
hashtag or the,
it's the at sign and then Kenzie Abercrombie. I have a long name, so when you say it out loud, but it's just Kenzie, Kenzie Abercrombie, like the store. On Instagram, I tend to do most of my posting there. I've been playing around with Instagram TV, so I'm going to start doing similar episodes like this. And then I do have a YouTube channel, but it's not up yet, so I don't have a link for
That's
that.
cool. That's cool. I'll link your Instagram page in the show notes. But like I said, thank you so much.
Yeah, no,
it's been amazing.
I know. I'm so glad. I'm glad I was your first guest and we could just rant half an hour.
Yeah, love it. Well, thank you all. And thank you, magnificent souls out there. Don't forget, if you have any feedback about the episodes or anything else you'd like to add, at epiphanyvault.com. And we'll see you later.